Titus. Going to go to Titus, chapter 1. What I wanted to share with you this morning is to live thankfully with praise and gratitude. That's all our Father has ever wanted from us. To really live with gratitude, thanksgiving, praise to Him. He has done everything, blessed us with everything, has always been there. And He has given mankind the greatest deliverance that's even possible. I don't think any of us comprehend what He has given to us. We have been promised the inheritance of eternal life. Eternal life. Now, I'm sorry. It's just like I cannot comprehend what $1 trillion is. I can't comprehend eternal life. Forever and ever and ever. We sing those words. But to touch them, to experience them, to really understand the magnitude, I think it's not possible for me. I stretch my mind for as far as it can go, and I know it's so much further than what I can possibly comprehend. Eternity. If you took 100 grains of sand, they'd probably fit in your fingers. Just scrunch them around in your fingers, and you counted them out for 100, every grain for 100 years. One grain a year, 100 years worth of sand. It wouldn't even fill the bottom of your shoe. Actually, it wouldn't fill the bottom of a thimble, if you know what one of those are. Most people don't even know what they are anymore. Nobody sews. God has given us all the sand. Every grain of sand represents a year. All the sand that's on all the beaches, under all the oceans of the planet Earth, and yet you can count that. It's bigger than that. That is what we are given. That is what our Lord and Savior came to give us. If I live to 100, which is a pretty long life, I don't know if I'm, but if I live that long, it's short. Anytime, I don't care, every one of us is going to say life has been short. Whether you fall asleep when you're 12 or whether you fall asleep at 100, it is short. And God expresses that to us in the Scriptures. Time and time and time again. We're just like the grass. We flower, we wither. It's here, it's gone. And that's the way it is. But that's the deliverance that our Lord and Savior paid for. Adam sold us out. We were supposed to be with our God on the earth forever in the garden in paradise. Adam was told, Adam and Eve were told, fill the earth. And God wanted a people that would praise Him and love Him and fellowship with Him, because He just wanted children. He wanted people to love. And His invitation in Timothy is, His desire, His will is that He wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And yet so few people through the centuries have accepted that invitation. They have stiffed their nose at Him. Might be her. They stiffed their nose at Him. Arrogance. One of the things about men, arrogance. He calls the children of Israel stiff-necked. You know, they're just not going to move for him. And that kind of sin is within us. That is the nature that we were born with. In Titus chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and according to the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised it, he wanted it, and you and I who accept the gospel and believe what he has done and what he is, him sending his son, and we believe that message, that is what you are going to get. That's what you're going to receive. That's what you're promised. It's yours. It is yours. So go to chapter 3 here, verse 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. But your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do error. They do always error in their heart. That is what mankind has done to the Father. God, let's put it this way. He has promised us eternal life. According to his word, according to everything that he has done. You're going to go to Hebrews here in a second, so you can start Hebrews 6. He's promised us eternal life. And yet, he promised that to Israel. He promised them deliverance. It was tangible. They could see the manna that came out every morning that they could eat. They could see the pillar of fire every night and the cloud that covered them every day. And yet they still refused to believe to go into the promised land that they were given. Words are the way in which God communicates. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 13, it says, For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore it by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them, an end of strife, of all strife. When someone makes an oath, they sign the document. When they ratify that this is what's going to happen between me and you, it's the end of the negotiation, end of the strife, it's all done. It's done. God swore with an oath that by two immutable things, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he might have strong encouragement, consolation, encouragement, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Jesus Christ is the one who entered into that veil. at the right hand of the throne of God. He has given us his word. He has sworn to us, given us promise. He has, because he could swear by no other, he swore upon his own reputation himself. The Almighty God is going to bring to pass his word. You have nothing to sweat about. Nothing. It is done, complete. You have this in front of you. I don't care if you got another 100 years in front of you. It's coming to an end. And when it does come to an end, peace. Because you got eternity. You got a new body, a new mind. You're going to be with the Lord and with all those that love the Lord forever and ever and ever. And that is genuine peace and joy. The struggle that we have in this life is a struggle. But that struggle comes to an end. Just like the children of Israel messed around for 40 years in the wilderness. Well, we're messing around here. We got a job to do, right? God's given us a purpose. We are to reconcile mankind back to him. We are to give him praise and honor and the glory that he deserves. We are to speak his word. That's our mission. That is our purpose. Everything else is okay. But that's our purpose. Let's do everything we can to fulfill our job because we honor him. I mean, that's why Jesus Christ hung on that cross. So he could have this hope. So he could have all of us with him. That's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. That's genuine love. That's what our Lord did for us. Our Father planned it out. Go to John chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 25. It says, and Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You are his. You belong to Almighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some days you don't think about that. Some days you don't believe it. You know, some days we cry just like a baby cries in a crib. We cry like the world's coming to an end. And yet, the parent always shows up and picks us up and comforts us and loves us and cares for us. I always did. I got the kid. They give it to the wife. Okay. But the truth is, we always came running. Your Father is always come to your aid. He has always been there. He will never leave you. Actually, he never leaves where he lives. Because you got God in Christ in you. You don't have to yell loud. You can whisper and they hear. But you have to ask. You have to humble yourself and ask. You have to be talking to them. Talking to your Father, really. Talking to Him just like you know He can hear you. You know He hears you because He says He does. He loves you. Nobody's able to take you out of His hand. Nobody's able to take you out of our Lord's hand. Nobody. The only one that can remove you out of their hand is you. Mentally, emotionally. You cannot accept, just like the children of Israel didn't accept the promised land. You can refuse to accept the blessings and the love of God. All you have to do is be hard-hearted, stiff-necked, self-willed. All right, just like the people around us in life. Have you noticed? Yeah, we live, I don't know if I want to really get into that for the moment, but we do. We have received, you and I have received so much. I think we take it for granted. And I think we get lazy. Very lazy. We get lazy in picking up the scriptures and in searching them out. We get lazy. Well, I can't do that. Come on. You can. I'm tempted the same way you are. Life's been busy. It's been filled with stuff for Mary and I. A lot of stuff. A lot of things. A lot of stuff to think about. A lot of places to run to. A lot. But you pick up the scriptures. I don't care if it's on your phone or if it's in your lap. You pick it up and you remind yourself of how much God loves you. You remind yourself that this is just a period of time. And this too shall pass. And you have joy in the middle of hell. You have joy. And you praise God for what He's done and what He's given. In the middle of all your trouble. That's how you get through a lot. Psalm 26. The 26th Psalm, verse 7, it says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. I want to publish with the voice, my mouth, with thanksgiving, all God's wonderful works, no matter what's going on. Remember when Paul was in prison? And they beat him. He was out ministering to them. He cast the spirit out of the girl. And then he did some healings. And then they threw him into jail. I think it was him and Silas. And they threw him into the inner part because the political leaders really wanted him. Don't let these people go. And they were beaten. And their backs were raw. Probably open. Open wounds. And they were put in stocks. And they began to sing praises unto God. Here they are, they're treated like crap. All they've done is hold forth the word, ministered to people, loved them, done healings, spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises that you and I are talking about this morning. And they were beaten. And their response to that, in the middle of all of that. Now, if you've ever been beaten in life, and I'm not talking about slapped. I'm talking about beaten. Then this is not a normal place to go, is rejoicing and praise. And let's sing. Let's sing. You guys wake up in the morning, and I'm not so sure I want to sing. their attitude, their heart, we're just going to sing praise and thanksgiving to our God with our open backs, with our bruises, with our bleeding, with our feet stuck in the pieces of wood, inside a prison that you can't see the hand in front of your face. And then God does his thing. And the door is open. The jailer wants to kill himself. Paul yells at, hey, don't do that. We're all here. What a witness. You know, it's a great, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what is a great promotion for atheism? Is miserable Christians. Oh, life, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Go ahead, witness for the devil. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but that's the way I think about it. God's people rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians were written under a death sentence when Paul was in jail at Rome. We'll get to some of those verses in a little bit. You want your self-pity? A little pity party? Don't do it. Because you've forgotten what you got. You've forgotten what's in front of you. I may get slapped around. I may get knocked down. I may get pummeled. But I can get up and praise my God for everything that he has done. My Lord was nailed to a cross. He was beaten so badly that it dragged him to it. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Psalm 107:22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's not just singing. It's not just praising with your lips. This is a good thing. But it's also declaring who he is. These songs that we sing, my people, look. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. These are not just tunes that you let. This is not like Armor Hot Dogs. Armor Hot Dogs. You know, you can't forget the tune. All right? These are not just things to be thrown off the top of your mind. You got to think about the words that you're saying. You got to let those words rejoice in your heart. This is not just space to be filled in a fellowship. You can remind yourself with those songs, but the words have to resonate. You don't want it to be a rogue prayer where it's a mindless, I'm just going through the motions thing. That would be terrible religion. Again, 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifices cost you something. This comes really, the sacrifice of thanksgiving comes from Leviticus. I forget which chapter. Not hard to find. Just look up the word thanksgiving. You'll see it. It's in Leviticus. The thing that God wanted more than anything else from his people with that sacrifice is he wanted them to come willingly. He wanted them to rejoice with him. They gave the part of the sacrifice. The priest got one part. God got another part on the altar. And then the individual who gave it was to consume the other part and praise and glorify God and rejoice in the presence of his Father. God wanted it. It's like a meal. We have Thanksgiving coming up. Families get together and eat and rejoice with each other. That's what it's about. My favorite holiday. That's what God wants. But it was willingness. I want to give this. It wasn't required. And it cost them something to give it. It cost us. When I'm not feeling good, I don't feel like rejoicing and giving thanks. That's exactly when you do and you give it to God and you give it to him as a sacrifice. Paul and Silas, they gave it to the Lord. Paul writes the book of Ephesians, Philippians, not even a mention of his suffering. And it's just praising God. And he tells the church, you sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks unto the Lord. And at the same time, the Roman government is probably hunting people down so that they can be eaten for entertainment. Again, the world hasn't changed much. Psalm 47. There's nothing new under the sun. The 47th Psalm, verse 7, says, For God is For God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding. Again, it's not just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's not just, oh, God's good all the time. You know, it sort of like becomes a bumper sticker. You know, God's good all the time. God's good. And you don't even think about, what is he good? Why is he good? What has he done? I tell my wife, we're going to be married 8 years. We're going to be married 48 years. Our anniversary is on the 19th. And I just tell her, you know, Mary, I love you. I love you. It's just, why? Hi. In other words, you can say something so often and not think about why. When you tell someone why you love them, now they got something to hold on to. I love you because you've always been there with me. Because no matter in our darkest moment, you've always supported me. I love you because of what you provide and what you do. And you start enumerating those things. You tell God why you praise him. I praise you for the life that you have given me, for the earth and the great creation that I can see, for the joy that I have in my heart, for the word that I understand, for your presence when you answered my prayers time and time and time again through my life, for saving my family, for doing all the things that you have done these many years, for allowing me to touch somebody's heart and to do something for you. That's how you praise the Lord. For his goodness, for his wonderful works unto men. You know, you got to get deep down in your soul. Get it deep down in your soul. And then enumerate the why. Enumerate the how. Remember where you came from. Remember how wonderful life was before you became a believer. Oh, it's so much work to do the things of God. Tongue in cheek. He's given us so much. He's provided for us so much. He has blessed us with so much. But he wants us to give these things. This attitude of thanksgiving, gratitude, praise to him. He wants us to do it with thinking, understanding. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read these first 14 verses here with you. And I want you to realize that this is God's message to you. This is his declaration to you of what he has done. He doesn't ask you to do a blessed thing in these verses. He is declaring to you what he has done. Paul, an apostle, I'm a sent one of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace, shalom be unto you, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's unmerited favor and his peace is to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us. He has chosen us, not you as an individual. I always thought that it was a you, but then that gets into a lot of problems. It's we as mankind. He has chosen us, mankind. He has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, he has foreordained us unto the adoption of children. That's what he wanted. That's what he has wanted. He wants children. And he has adopted you and I. By Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. He decided to do this. He willed this. He arranged this. He made this happen. That in the administration of the fullness of time, there's a day coming. In that administration of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Everything is going to be one in that time. What's in heaven? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the angels. What's on earth? Us. That family of God, which was ripped apart by Satan. One third of the angels gone, and only those that believe the gospel saved on earth. One day, God's will, it will all be one. and it will all be done. This was his plan, what he wants, what he decided. This was his work in progress. He predestined not for you to get a job next week. He didn't predestine you to be a plumber. He predestined you to be his son, adopted child. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. We are add-ons. It's a much more accurate picture. God's done all of this. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He has given you an inheritance that he predestined, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We're to live to the praise of his glory. You know what our response is? Praise him and his glory for all that he has done, for everything that he has done. He's the one who has planned out the wholeness of his family. This is his family. He planned out the reconciliation of those in heaven and on earth to be one. He is the one who is given the inheritance. He is the one who has made us holy and without blemish before him. He is the one who has wiped away our sins and paid the price by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He is the one who sent his son and was willing to sacrifice the only man, that didn't betray him. Your Father loves you. Praise his holy name and tell him why you love him so much. Give him the time of enumerating the care and concern and the blessings and the joys that he has given you. You can see just in color. Now, I used to see better. I didn't need a pair of windshield in front of my face once upon a time. But I can still see. I don't hear as well as I used to. I can still hear. A lot of things wear out, but that's why. Oh, my God has prepared a new body. Could we get a little holy here? You know, get a little excited. We're going to get a new body. No more aches and pains. No more running out of juice. We're going to have a new mind. It's not going to torture me anymore. It's not going to try to run me down the wrong road when I don't want to go down that road. Yeah, I had a dream last night. You know what I was doing? The dumbest dream I've had in years. I was measuring fabric. Was from a job that I had when I was a teenager. I used to work in what they call a sewing sweatshop, giving out samples of fabric, and used to measure it and then used to sew the edges. And throw it over, do another one. It's like a little factory. I'm 70 years old and I'm dreaming about this. There isn't anything else to dream of, a little bit more entertaining. What a wasted night. Again, the mind is a terrible thing. It does what it wants to do when you're asleep. It's not like I can say, I don't like this dream, let's do another one. I know that was silly, but it's just Ephesians chapter 5. When you and I consider all that God has given to us, all that he has done, you know, the world we live in is falling apart. It's getting worse every day. It's getting more vicious, more lawless. People's decisions that they have made it so much worse. All right? I mean, you know, you and I are sitting on, we've always been sitting in New York, right? Well, at least most of us have been here forever. You know, we're like the world's number one target. It's been like that since I'm a kid, right? That air raid shelters and stuff. We got that all back again. We can glow. Praise the Lord. Ba-boom. Next thing I know, the Lord face to face. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Don't fear what man can do to you. Fear God. In the meantime, let us do what he has asked us to do because we love him. In Ephesians 5, in verse 19, it says here, speak to yourselves. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give it always to him. You speak it to yourself. You got nobody else to talk to? Then sing to yourself. Praise to yourself. Go down the list and make the list long. You ain't got nothing else to do that's worth anything. Wash the dishes and praise the Lord. Whatever it takes. Go to Colossians chapter 3. And remember, he's in prison when he wrote these words. In chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You teach. You know, that's one of the things I failed at as a minister. I really did. I named our church Christian Outreach Fellowships. The vision I had was that which was written in the book of Deuteronomy, where God had instructed Moses to take care of the people. And then old Jethro came along and told them to divide them down by thousands. You said you can't do this alone, so divide down. Pick guys that'll run 1,000. Judge over 1,000. Pick guys that'll run 100. Pick guys that'll run 50. Pick guys that'll run 10. So it's not too much. My vision was always that every household be a fellowship. That every father of a family sit, teach, and their children sit there and in love and teach. And now I know that that's unrealistic, right? But it was what, no big, you don't need a lot of big classes to do that. You just need to be grateful and thankful to God, read the scriptures, pray together, sing a song together, have fun, invite other people in the neighborhood to come, and then when they get into the word, they do it in their own home. Every house would be a place where God's word would run, reign, and move in a very, very natural, family-oriented kind of way. I have hardly been able to get people out of to follow the one guy. That's why most of these mega churches, people don't want the responsibility. So they've got one charismatic dude, and maybe he's good, maybe he ain't. I don't care. I don't follow anybody else. And they got a system. They always have to have an organization. But again, it's the main man, whether he's the Pope or who else. That's, no, that's not what the first century did. Paul taught the word and moved on. And they set up home fellowships and he moved on. And it's real simple. Praise the Lord, love God, read the scriptures, learn and grow. God will teach you, he will guide you, he will help you. And just preach it and teach it to others. I told you to go to Colossians. Did I read that? Yep. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, the people from the first century who were persecuted so terribly were so excited about the word that 21 centuries later, we still have it. They didn't hide under a rug. They faced the danger. They still spoke. They still had joy. I mean, can you imagine? You want me to join your group so I can be fed to the lions? What's the upside here for me? Eternal life. Eternal life. That was the upside. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. They must have been really excited about eternal life, huh? Like I say, I think sometimes we take it for granted. Verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God has asked for this. He has told us about it. He has required almost nothing from you and me. You know, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about, you know, those who have faith, faith unto faith. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. And it says then, for those who are disobedient and obey not the truth, they're going to receive his indignation and wrath. You know why? Because they did not acknowledge God. Neither were they thankful. So he gave them up. He gave them up because they wouldn't even be thankful. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a chapter that most people don't teach. Oh, my. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God, the word of God. I guess I could talk to you about the life that we're living out there, everything's going on socially, physically, mentally, emotionally, and every other which way. And I'm sure that there is a speaker that can keep you engaged with all of those things and entertain with all of those things. But you know why I just read the scripture for the most part? Because this is what it says. Just speak the oracles of God. Speak the word of God. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as God, do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everything that we do, if we walk by God, we speak His word, we do His word, and we minister to the best that God has given me to do, God gets glorified. He gets glorified. What's your best? I don't know. I'm doing my best. I pray to do my best every time I get to do anything. I pray to take care of my family the best I can. I pray, and I have never stopped. Those kids are, you know, old and middle-aged. Bless their hearts. But I pray for them as much as I pray for them almost more now than I did then. I ain't never going to quit. Same thing for my wife, my beautiful, wonderful wife. Serve, do the best I can, fail at it all the time, get myself back up, do it again. None of us are perfect. None of us going to attain. You ain't going to graduate spiritually. You're always a child in the eyes of God. You always see through a glass darkly. That's as good as it gets in this life. Just do your best and give it to the Lord. And then it says in verse 12, like I said, people don't like to read these verses. Behold, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Hey, something happened, it's bad, it's a fiery trial. And you think, oh, this is strange. Like, this is a surprise? Come on, it's not a surprise. It's what your scriptures have taught you every which way. You got an adversary. You got flesh, it falls apart. You got a devil, he don't like you. The world, if you walk with the Lord, it hates you. It's going to hate you, but remember, it hated me first. It says you're going to be persecuted. Oh, somebody ain't going to like you. You think this is strange? See, no. You're in a spiritual battle. There's casualties in battle. There's people who get wounded in battle. Stuff happens in battle. I got the victory. I have the victory in Christ. There's nothing keeping me from that victory. But it's a struggle. Training is a struggle. The training that a soldier goes through is harsh and hard. It's not supposed to be woke. It's not. It's supposed to be realistic. Bones get broken. Flesh gets ripped. Strained. People jump out of helicopters and planes and stuff happens. That's just the training. You wouldn't think it would be strange for a soldier not to get hurt. We pray they don't. But you don't expect them to go home unbruised after a day's work. Why do believers think it's strange? It says here, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached, people don't like you, they curse you. It says, for the name of Christ, happy are you. Go ahead, call me whatever the heck you want. I'm enjoying every minute of it. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. It says, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. They hate my God. They hate my Lord. And I glorify him all the more and all the even louder. It's just got to be that way, guys. It's just got to be that way. Go to Malachi. I'm going to close there. What I used to think it was Malachi. I told my granddaughter, my beautiful granddaughter, she learned the books of the Bible. And I told her that when Grandpa first learned the Bible, I used to think that the book of Job was Job. You know, because I needed a job at the time. And I thought, oh, there's a book of Job. No, it was Job. But again, everybody starts from someplace, right? And, you know, you figure this is an Italian neighborhood, Malachi. Malachi. Chapter 3, one of my favorite verses of all time, because it reminds me, verse 16, and all the judgments that's laid out in Malachi against God's people, against his priests, against those who have really dishonored him. And the last prophet that is given revelation to give to Israel for at least the next 250 years because they didn't listen. God speaks of those that believe. He speaks of those that love him. He speaks of what's going to happen with the kingdom coming. It says, then they that fear the Lord, they spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. When you and I speak one to another about him, about how magnificent our Father is, about everything that he has done for us, we just speak about it to each other. Our Father hears it. He hears it. He heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they are mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall they return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serves God and him that serves him not. That day is coming. They're going to be my jewels. You know where the jewels are spoken of in the book? Book of Revelation. Remember the New Jerusalem comes down? They're going to be there. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Live thankfully with praise and gratitude. Just live for him. Do it in your heart, good days, bad days, but especially the bad ones. Just be joyful and happy and know that your Father's with you. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for everything that you have done. I praise you, my God, for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. Praise you, Father, for the spirit that you've given to us, for the joy that we have of knowing that you are our God. We are your children, my God. Behold the love that God has to declare us the sons of God. And we love you and praise you. Take care of us, Father. Take care of us. Guide us. Help us. Teach us. Get us through all our stuff. Take care of our loved ones, my God. Take care of your people in the church. Watch over them. Watch over all those, my God, who cry out and need your help. I pray for my Mary today, Father, and I ask you to heal her and bless her. And I ask you to take care of all your children. And you are such a magnificent Father. So I give these things to you, Father. And as we pray as a church, my God, and we lift our voices to you, I ask that you just, in an incredible and wonderful way, answer the prayers of each and every one of your children. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.